Sure. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Gerardo, sorry. My name is Alex Radutsky, and I'll be talking to you today about certificate enrollment protocols, some of the concepts and some of the specific about the protocols. Really quickly about who we are. There will be three people presenting today about certificate enrollment, and we actually represent two teams in Microsoft. My name is Alex Radutsky. I'm a program manager on a Windows PKI client team. And what we do is we are responsible for operating system components that deal with certificate enrollment and certificate storage and a certificate validation. Some of our components also work with cryptographic messages like PKCSL and things like that. Another team, my teammate there is Anush, and Larry is from a second team, which is Active Directory Certificate Services team. And what those guys do, they actually own our server implementation, which is our certification authority, our OCSP responder, our enrollment web services, and a few other server components as well. A little bit about me. I've been working in this area in Windows Group for the last 5 years, and I've been working on these protocols for about the last three probably, and I've authored actually a document or two. So in this hour, what I'll talk about is I'll talk about the protocols themselves, and we actually have two stacks of protocols, and we also have two model, if you wish, for certificate enrollment. One we call basic certificate enrollment, and the other one is a policy-based certificate enrollment. And I'll go into details what those models are, what they mean as far as our protocols, and how things work. At the end of the sessions, we'll have some time for Q&A, but feel free to stop me anytime if you feel like you're being lost or you'd like to know a little bit more about. Daryl, who's yes, Daryl just stepped out. I don't know. Okay. Sorry. So before we start, can I quickly ask how many people here actually looked at the certificate enrollment protocols and or tried to implement one in this room? Okay, we got 2, 3. Okay, good. That's good to know. So how many people were here last PlocFest and heard some of the presentations? All right, so we have 0 of those people, which is good because there will be not as much repeat for you guys. We do, just to give a context as far as the last PlocFest, the first 2 hours will be somewhat of repeat because we're going to talk of some of the basic information, and the last hour we'll talk about some new stuff. So let's jump in into basic certificate enrollment. So what we call basic certificate enrollment is just your the most textbook, if you wish, flavor of certificate enrollment. So in this case, you have an administrator or user decides that he or she needs a certificate, and then he uses some tools on the machine, creates a certificate request, right, like a PKCS10 or CMC request. Creates a public and a private key pair that gets put in the request and gets signed, and then it gets sent off to the CA. And in our case, the protocol for this is WCCE, which stands for Windows Client Certificate Enrollment Protocol. So once the CA receives the request, and if it's configured in a good, secure manner, it doesn't actually issue the certificate right away. It gets put it into some sort of pending state where then the CA administrator or a PKI administrator would come in, examine the request, will take a look at who submitted the request, should they get that certificate, are they asking for the right things, are they asking for the right name, EQUs, things like that, and then decide to issue a certificate. Once a certificate is issued, CA will actually go build a certificate, put the extensions that requester has asked for, put some of its own extensions like CDP extensions, AIA, and so forth. Then to actually get the certificate back onto the client, what the user back on the client computer will have to do, actually go and ask for that certificate from the CA. And if certificate has been issued, it will download the certificate at that time. So there's actually, it could be either one or two round trips to get the certificate in this case. So let's take a look a little bit of what are the actual protocols from Microsoft side involved in this, the simplest workflow possible. So the main document for this protocol is .ms-wcce, and the section that covers the basic certificate enrollment is 311 and 321, and we call the client as a basic enrollment client, and we actually call the CA component as a standalone CA. The main, so the protocol itself is a DCOM interface. Everybody here familiar with what DCOM is? If you're not, okay. So this is our basically a remote in technology in Windows where you can invoke, you can instantiate an object and invoke its methods on a remote machine. So what happens here is that you instantiate the object on the CA from the client, and then you invoke a method which called request to actually submit a request. And when the request gets sent to the CA, the message format itself is either PKCS10 or a subset of CMC. And what I mean by subset, the CMC RFC, if you guys are familiar with it, is very big and includes a lot of not just requests, but also some management capabilities, and it supports multiple requests. We are actually using a very, very small subset of that RFC, and we only allow a single request per CMC message and a handful of attributes that we support. When the request method is invoked, the return from the CA, it is either some error indicating that CA denies the request, for example, or doesn't accept it because of malformed message or something like that. The other case could be is that the request was put in a pending state, at which, again, you don't actually receive the certificate back right away, but it's just you get a status that says the certificate is pending. And the third option is that you actually get a certificate back right away. And when client actually asks for the certificate, there are some input parameters that you can specify to the request method to control what kind of information you would like to get back from the CA. So you can actually ask for not just the certificate itself, but also a chain of certificates up to the root. Or you can also ask CA to include the current CRILs for all the CA certificates in it, so you can actually do the validation of the chain right then. And as I also mentioned, that for the pending request, you actually have to invoke the method twice. And it's actually the same method. It's just a special type of invocation where you, when CA puts a request into a pending state, it actually gives you an ID and tells us, I got the request, it's pending, here's an ID, come talk to me later. So when you attempt to retrieve it, you give that ID back and the CA can tell you, here's the certificate, or it's still pending, or maybe it was denied after all. Any questions so far, guys? Easy to follow? So what are the challenges with this basic certificate enrollment? So yes, you can get a certificate, everything seems to be working, but once you go into real life deployment, there's definitely challenges. Is from the PKI or CA administrator point of view, that person has to be involved in every certificate request, and that is just not scalable. Right, if you have thousands of users that you want to get them certificates for, you can't have a PKI administrator for each user to just sit there and approve requests. And there are multiple tasks actually involved when the PKI administrator needs to approve the request. For once, it needs to make the authorization decision and make sure that you actually are supposed to get a certificate. And the second part, which is even harder, is to make sure that you're actually getting the right type of certificate. So when you ask for a certain name, this is actually the name you're supposed to get. If you ask for a certain EQUs, for example, this is something that the administrator is willing to give you. So for example, if I go and I ask for server certificate for Microsoft.com, I should probably get denied because I have no business of running that website. It's even, I would say, more challenging, not from scalability point of view, but from complexity point of view, for a server administrator or a user to ask for a certificate. because a lot of times even our administrators are not versed enough in the PKI to understand what should be in a certificate request. How should they create a key pair? What algorithm should they use? What the key size should be? What kind of extensions do you need to put in the request? And finally, let's say they figure that one out. Well, how do they even know where to submit it to? Right. So I mean, you can't expect an administrator to just go and pick up, you know, and start writing code. And even if they have tools, well, which machine are they targeting? So, looking at those challenges, I think at around Windows 2000 time, we came up with this idea. And policy to the rescue. So the idea is that you author some sort of policy that will help you define the rules for what the certificate should look like, who should get them, and how to request them, as well as where to request them from. So these are the basic concepts, right? And then the enrollment protocol could stay the same, and then there's another policy protocol where you can actually both CA and the user or a computer actually can obtain the policy. So what does it mean actually in our protocols? We logically split the policy in two building blocks. The first one is a certificate template. And this is sort of a certificate profile, right? So this basically describes different rules about a certificate. It has the authorization information, right? So who can or should enroll for a certificate. And that could be actually used by both client and server. So the client can actually, before requesting a certificate, can look up the policy and say, which certificate do I even need to get? And then submit requests accordingly. On the CA side, when it gets multiple requests from the clients, can actually make a go or no-go decision of who should be getting a certificate. Another part of certificate template is the properties on a certificate. So that could go from anything from what the kind of names should be on the certificate, how those names should be actually constructed, meaning should the requester provide a name or should the name be built from some other location, validity of the certificate, extensions such as EQUs, key usage, issuance policies, and so forth. There's also a set of settings on a template that contain some of the rules about how the certificates can be issued. So for example, if you have some certificates that may be of high value, you may require another certificate to be used to co-sign the request. Right, so that's what we call array signature requirements. So for example, in order for you to get a smart card certificate, you may be requiring an enrollment agent certificate to co-sign the request before it can be submitted to the CA. So that both, again, helps the client to build the request properly and makes the server job easier when it's validating the request. Another setting is for CA manager approval. So even though we have this policy, a great way to automate things, there's still some certificates that we just don't want to issue right away. We want a person to go and look at it before it can be issued. Some of the rules about how to create a request, for example, guidance on the private key creation, right? So we want to tell the client which algorithm to use, which cryptographic library to use. Maybe some of the properties on the keys, for example, should the key be exportable or not? So things like that. The last one is a certificate lifecycle guidance. What that means is basically there are certain things where we try to help the client to make sure it has the right certificate at all times. For example, you can define a period at which the client should renew the certificate. So for example, if you have a certificate that is good for 1 year, you can say that let's renew the certificate 4 weeks before it expires, right? And we actually operate in the percentage time, but that's the idea. Another example would be if you have a certificate, if you define a set of templates, and then later on your business changed and you decide that you need different type of certificates and you just want to migrate from one template to the other, you can actually supersede one template with another template. so that the clients know that I should not get certificates based on that template anymore. Let's use another template. And then the second part of the policy is some of the information about issuers, which is, you know, could be a CAs or some other service that you may have. And the information we care about them is, first of all, how do you find them, right? So in the case of the CA, that's probably a DNS name. In the case of our web services, and I'll talk about those in detail later, that would be like an HTTP URL. The second piece of information is, well, what do those issuers actually support, right? So if I'm looking to enroll for a template foo, and I have three CAs, which one of those three CAs can actually issue me a certificate based on that template? So that could, in real world deployments, that basically means that you can actually dedicate some CAs to certain certificates. For example, if you are issuing some encryption certs and you're archiving the key, you may dedicate your CAs to for these encryption certificates so that all your private keys are on this one CA. And you use other CAs for other purposes. So maybe you have some CA to issue short-lived machine certificates, and those you don't really care about the database as much because it doesn't have anybody private keys in it, so you can just kind of clean it up. So you can kind of repurpose your CA and make sure the client go to the right CA based on what they actually want. And the third part, we also put some of the CA certificates in that information as well. And the reason you would want those is you can optionally, a client optionally can actually validate a certificate of the CA before it submits a request to it to make sure that the CA is still good, it hasn't been compromised. Another certificate you may care about is when you're trying to make a key archival request that includes the key archival, you would need some kind of key exchange certificate from the CA. So that information could also be part of the issuer's part of the policy. Any, we have any questions so far? Everything's good? Okay. So the first implementation of the policy-based certificate enrollment model in Windows is template-based certificate enrollment. And so we use Active Directory, and I'm assuming everybody's familiar with Active Directory. So this is our directory service, and you can use LDAP protocol to access it. We use that directory to actually store our policy. And our templates part of the information of the policy is contained in these template objects, and we have a separate document for this. And our issuer information as well, it has its own object in Active Directory. The location of that policy is implicitly known by clients and the CAs. So when both of them start up, they can go and read that policy information. Or when the client is about to request certificate, and you can go and check for the laser information in the Active Directory. Once it reads that information, figures out what it wants or should enroll for, it can submit the request based on what the template says, off to the CA using the same protocol as we've seen in the basic enrollment, which is WCCE. CA on its side also reads the same policy, makes sure the client has the right permissions, and we do that through security descriptor on the Active Directory object, right? So you just set the groups that are permitted to enroll, read. And once the authorization decision is good, so the client should get that certificate, the CA then uses the same template object to make sure that it constructs the certificate properly. So some details on the protocols. So MSWCCE is the document that documents the policy template-based certificate enrollment as well. These are different sections from the basic enrollment, but if you look at the document, they're actually built on top of the basic enrollment. So a lot of rules about, for example, how to do PKCS10 or how to do CMC are actually unchanged. What changed is the interaction with the policy and what the CA processing rules are when it gets the request. In the section 5 of WCCE actually documents how each CA advertises, if you will, itself in the Active Directory as a part of that policy. So each CA will have its object that will have the DNS name, that will have the templates it supports, as well as some of its certificates. Subject name construction, I skimmed over a little bit. So if I go back to the diagram just for a second, the templates, we have two types of templates, and this is not a normative name, but we call, we split them in two groups, online templates and offline templates. And what does it mean? So there's a set of flags on a template that basically allows the requester to specify its name. So any one of those flags effectively makes the template offline. Basically, that means that CA is not going to try to online lookup of the user or computer identity and try to fill in the subject name itself. It will just rely on the requester. And from the deployment guidance, you really don't want those templates to be issued automatically. Those are the templates that you still want the manager, CA manager or PKI administrator approval before you issue it. And the reason for this is actually, if you do it automatically, it's somewhat of an elevation of privilege, right? So if you have a template that I can automatically enroll for with any name I choose, I can then go and find any, for example, I can go get a certificate for any name I want and then put up a rogue server on my network trying to, you know, catch some of the traffic, right? Or I can actually get, for example, we have a CA in Microsoft that actually subordinates under a public root. Right, so if I go and I spoof Microsoft CA into issuing me a certificate for Verisign.com or Global or like Amazon.com or any one of those, I can actually put up that web server on the internet and, you know, start doing bad things. The second group of templates is what we call the online templates, and those are basically templates that don't have any of those flags set and completely ignore the subject name information from the requester. So when the request comes in, the requester is free to suggest some naming for the certificate, but what CA is going to do is just going to take the request and identify the requester by the security context of the remote call and go to the Active Directory and pick up the subject name information from the AD object of the requester. So for example, a user submits a request for an email certificate. The template says that the email should be included in one of the certificate names. CA gets the request. It goes to finds the user object in Active Directory, looks at the mail attributes in the AD objects, take that value and puts it in the certificate. So in fact, the requester can never get anybody else's email on their certificate but theirs. So going back to the list of documents, so CRTD, I mentioned this is where we define the data structures for certificate templates. So if you go to that document, this one has basically all the attributes listed, all the bits listed, what they mean at the high level, and then it will have the references for you to go into the actual documents that have logic against those bits. So it will have reference to WCCE, it will have reference to some of the other documents that you'll see presentation on later. And finally, since we store our policy in Active Directory, we use LDAP, or actually a profile of LDAP, to go and fetch that policy, both on the CA and the client side. And I'm not an expert on LDAP in general or our implementation, but I've been told that we are pretty close to the RFC definition of LDAP as far as how we implement our client and server. But our profile is documented in the MSADTS document. Some of the advanced scenarios I haven't mentioned so far. We have a support in the certificate template and in the CA processing rules for enroll on behalf of scenarios. So this is when you want one user to vouch to actually get a certificate on behalf of the other user. A smart card usually is a great example of this. You have some kind of smart card enrollment station usually where your user goes and some administrator provisions smart card for that user, right? So you need to, the way that works in Windows is that we issue these special certificates to those administrators. Those are very powerful certificates that say that they can get certificates for other users. And then we define another template for the actual smart card certificate that say the only way you can get it if another certificate, that powerful enrollment agent certificate, co-signed the request. So that could be expressed within a template. The registration authority signature requirements I mentioned briefly about. So you can, again, some of the scenarios where you want to control. So enroll on behalf of somewhat very similar to RA signature requirement, whereas you could actually, you don't have to, with RA, pure RA signature requirement, you don't have to ask for a certificate on behalf of another user. What could happen is that I can build a request, and then I can go to another person and say, I'd like to get the certificate. Could you please approve it for me? And that person will use their certificate to co-sign the request, and I'll take that request and sign it to the CA myself. CA will make sure that I'm the person that's asking for the certificate, but I have this extra signature that validated my request. So again, this is a probably more of an advanced, like a high-value certificate that you want to issue maybe some military or financial scenarios. And they can key off both EQUs or policy issuance. RCAs do support key archival. And the way we do this is you can, again, define this in a template to say to a client that please submit your private key for key archival when you request certificate based on that template. And once the client sees that bit on a template, what it will do, it will take CA Exchange certificate, encrypt the private key with that certificate, and put it in the same message as the request. When the CA gets it, and it then stores it encrypted in its database. Now, we don't actually have a self-service key recovery. So the user can himself or herself submit its private key for archival, but it cannot recover. So we actually do, the way you recover keys in Windows CAs is through an administrative interface on a CA, which Larry will talk about a little bit. And again, all these documented in WCCE, how they actually work, and CRTD as the rules, how did they appear in the template. Any questions so far? Anush, you have a question? No? Go ahead. Can you repeat this? So, sorry, I can't hear you. Yeah.
I mean, the AD controls the policy of the CA, right?
Right.
So, what about the work environment?
Yes.
Now, allow me.
So, the question is that when AD. I can repeat. Sorry. Right. So, the question was. Since Active Directory is the one that controls the policy, what do you do in a workgroup environment? Very good question. I'm about to step into this, and I'll show you what to do in the workgroup environments. So just hang on to that question for just a second. So here's what are the challenges. We are tied to Active Directory with the certificate template-based enrollment. It is very hard, although not completely impossible, to enroll for a certificate if you are in a workgroup or non-domain join machine. In fact, what you end up is you actually effectively get reduced to the basic enrollment, right? Because you cannot just do this authenticate. You cannot get to Active Directory. You cannot just simply call to the CA unless you kind of fall back into maybe an TLM case somehow. So it's very tricky. Or you have to build an array, where you may have your workgroup machine go to some array first that will then use some kind of domain account to submit requests on your behalf. There's another problem with Active Directory is that both clients and server assume this one location for the policy, which makes it only one policy for the Active Directory forest. And not only is one policy within that forest, it means that you can never use a policy in another forest. Also, the authentication is a big problem, right? So like a workgroup machine just can't authenticate to DC. What these restrictions make is that just from deployment point of view, if you have some machines that are not domain joined, it's hard to do. But there are also other scenarios that are hard. For example, if you have a partner that you want to issue certificates to, and let's say you want that partner to access your network and use those certificates, and you just automatically want to issue it to them, because of this AD requirement, unless you make your partner share Active Directory forest with you, you won't be able to do this. And that's just not a realistic scenario. Also, if you have some consumer scenarios where, let's say, you're implementing a CA and you want to sell certificates over the internet, you really can't do that either. And finally, the DCOM, even within the enterprise, if you have some remote sites, DCOM is just not firewall friendly, right? It's very hard sometimes to get across some of the networks because of the DCOM. So what do we do about this? So in Windows 7, we came up with this idea where we call web services, certificate enrollment web services. And it's really not much different from certificate templates. In fact, it's the same policy-based enrollment idea, only we changed the transport effectively. So what we said is, let's look at these clients that are not part of the domain or part of some other domain, or they are over the internet. And how can we help them first get the policy and also submit the request to the CA? So two protocols were born. And the first one is XCEP. And that is basically our, it's a representation of certificate templates and issuers, so the same policy idea in XML. So it's a SOAP-based protocol. And the second protocol is WSSTEP. This is the one that actually submits the request and receives the certificate back. So again, this is just a SOAP-based protocol to do the same things what WCC does, essentially. So in this case, again, the client goes and checks on the policy, creates the request all over HTTP, and then submits the request to the CA or the server. In this case, this actual server doesn't have to be CA, but a little bit more on this in a moment. Submits the request, gets the certificate back. So the general flow is very similar, but there are some differences that I'll talk about in a second. So quickly about the documents. The two documents that that talk about these protocols is MSCEP. So it contains certificate templates and issuer information. WSTEP contains certificate enrollment, renewal, and how do you retrieve a pending request. They're all based on the HTTP and SOAP messages. And what we've done also, we've added other authentication support. So Windows Server supports three types of authentication. It is what we call Windows Integrated, but really what it is Kerberos. We support username and password, which is just at the message layer, and a certificate-based authentication. Our clients actually can do anonymous as well. Our servers do not, and this is more of just not a protocol decision, just an implementation decision. But our clients can do anonymous as well. So really quickly before the diagram, there's an interesting piece that's kind of missing here, the big elephant in the room. First of all, how does the WSSTEP server here on the bottom, how does it get the policy, right? And the point is, so these protocols were really targeted at the client. So the way the protocol are defined, that it doesn't matter. So it could be that this server is the one that issues certificates and gets the policy from the same XCEP endpoint. That's fine, but it's not restricted with the protocol. What could also happen is that, and as Larry will talk about later, is that these services could actually be just proxies. One could be a proxy to Active Directory, and the other one could be a proxy to a WCC CA. And all they do is just they forward the request. So when the CA that is just sitting behind this guy will make the decisions based on the certificate template settings and what the policy says, it doesn't really need to talk to that guy. In fact, it doesn't even know about that guy's existence, right? It still works off the certificate templates. And that's what the Windows implementation is. Now, the reason we kept this open like this is for some of the scenarios where if you want to integrate within the enterprise environment, and it's a heterogeneous network where you're going to have some Microsoft servers and so what, you maybe want to do what Microsoft does. But in scenarios where maybe you're a public issuer and you sell certificates over the internet, you don't want to be restricted by Active Directory and RCA, right? All you care is what does the client need on the protocol layer to be able to get certificates. So let's take a public issuer example. their property could be, their policy could be just a database, like a MySQL database that has all the policy information. It doesn't matter that there's no Active Directory behind it. So when the client goes and asks for the policy, as long as it gets the right XML, it doesn't care. Same for the enrollment. Their CA could be their only implementation. It could, in fact, be just one server, and that's the only remote interface they support. So we really try to keep this open and to make sure that you can incorporate any models out there, any different CA products, directory products, database. It doesn't matter. For the client, what matters is that what kind of information that it gets. It doesn't care what it got it from. So what are the things you can do besides the authentication? So we talked about the limitation of a single policy because of this implicit location in Active Directory. Well, now you have these HTTP endpoints, and you can potentially have as many of them as you want. So Anush will talk about, we actually support for both our servers and clients. We'll have some configurations where you can tell which endpoints to talk to, right? And they could be centrally deployed or they could be locally configured. You can then also associate some authentication with them. So you may be going to one endpoint and using a username and password. To the other endpoint, you're using Kerberos, and to the third one, you're using certificate. So for your question, the workgroup domain, right? So let's say you have your Active Directory environment and you have this set of workgroup machines and you want them to enroll for certificates. What you can do is you can take, let's say your administrator has an account in that domain. All they need to do is configure the SEP URL and this XSEP URL on WSTEP with their credential, and then machine can just use their credentials to actually enroll for certificates, right? So you can provision some kind of account in the domain for these purposes so that it gets through this and gets the certificates. Another thing, like we talked about the partner scenarios, you can potentially see where you have two partners, each one of them have their own PKI, they issue their own certificates, and now one partner wants to extend a set of certificates to their partners so that they connect to their network, they can actually go to their partner and say, hey, here's the URLs. Please configure your machines the way you're supposed to configure them so that you can get certificates right from your machines and we never have to have any manual process associated with it. So these are some of the things we're able to do. And kind of a little segue into the next hour of presentation. Larry, on the back there, he'll talk a little bit more about the CA as a bigger system and a set of protocols and the document that talks about this. We'll touch base a little bit more on how we actually implement the XCP server and the WSTEP server. And then Anush, in hour three, he'll talk about the auto-enrollment. So this is actually a new document we have. We authored it about a year ago, where you'll see how a client can actually make sense out of this multiple policy world and submit requests automatically and help computers make sure your server also always have the right certificate at the right time. So do we have any more questions? Anything, do you like me to go in more detail?
Why would I implement anything but the web service?
Why? That's a good question. So the question was, why would I implement anything but the web services protocols? I think looking into the future, I'd say there is no good reason to implement anything but that. The only reason you may want to do it today is for backward compatibility. So the web services protocols are only available on our side from Windows 7, starting from Windows 7. So if you want to issue certificates to Vista 2008 server, XP in 2003, you still want to do a DCOM.
Not only that, but if you're operating within an Active Directory environment, you've got clients that support
there you go, Larry.
If you're operating within an Active Directory environment with clients that can't support it, not using the web protocol simply means you don't have a couple more servers that you need to deploy to handle them, right? You've got all the native capability. So.
I think what Larry's point is basically, even today, in our deployments, people that are kind of starting to switch to Windows 7, they still, even with Windows 7 machines, they still use the old protocols, because for anybody to switch, they really need the whole environment on Windows 7 and above, or Windows 2008 R2 and above. And that's, you know, it's a lot of, to ask, especially for on the server side, and even XP. There's still plenty of people running XP out there. There's plenty of people that gonna, you know, hold on to the last 2003 server they can possibly can, because, you know, a lot of the upgrades is just, you need new hardware, it just costs a lot of money.
So maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Is it an either, I'm particularly concerned about the client side.
Sure.
So I want to use the existing infrastructure. Is there a requirement that you only use web services versus both? Mode?
No. So Windows 7 can use both. So in fact, you can have, there is a one-to-many relationship between the instance of your policy and the endpoints, right? So you can have multiple web services endpoints actually serving the same policy, right? And Active Directory is just considered to be one of those endpoints. So today in the domain environment, if you go and install Microsoft web service, enrollment web service, it actually just another endpoint for the Active Directory policy. And the clients can go either way. It's what is desirable sometimes, that if you have clients that you know won't be able to do Active Directory-based enrollment, you may want to turn off Active Directory on their side and make sure they always go to the new web service endpoint if you know there's some network issues that they need to deal with and so forth. I think from the client point of view, Anush's talk will be, I think, also much more informative. He'll talk about how all these pieces come together on the client and how you would process a set of these points and what you would do. So hopefully that will help. Any other questions? We're good?
Thank you, Alex. Yeah.